from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 4:01 is the time. We love Spiro's Mediterranean cuisine around here. This hour, brought to you by Spiro's. Authentic Mediterranean cuisine. Authentic Greek. Coronado, La Jolla, Petco Park. For dining takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Chris here, Matt Scraby there, Tony Gwynn Jr. on a happy bus ride from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore. After the Padres not only beat the Washington Nationals today 3-0, but Dylan Cease, no hit the Nationals. Second no-hitter in Padre team history. Took Joe Musgrove 53 seasons to get the first. Took Dylan Cease a little more than 3 seasons to get the second.
It's good stuff. It's definitely good stuff. I just think that Dylan Cease, we've been talking about it for years, because Chris Paddock came close to a no-hitter. Denelson Lamet came really close to a no-hitter. Who was the, was it Jordan Lyles, who had like a, he was in the eighth with a no-hitter at Petco, and it ended up getting broken up. But
Padres had a lot of them early in their history as well.
Dylan Cease just seems like the guy time, who would get a no-hitter.
Longtime Padre fans remember the names Clay Kirby, Steve Arlen. These are guys that took no-hitters into the ninth, did not get it. 53 years later, finally Musgrove delivered. The Padres were the last team in Major League Baseball to have a no-hitter. Now they have 2 of the 306 that have been thrown in the history of the sport. Dylan Cease struck out 9, walked 3 today, faced only 1 batter over the minimum. Ha-Seong Kim drove in all 3 runs with a bases-loaded double following a 1-hour-and-16-minute rain delay in the top of the first inning. There was even some thought that maybe Dylan Cease might not even be able to start the game. I mean, the rain delay can totally mess up your warm-up schedule and all of that, but I don't think there was a whole lot of discussion about that. He went out to the mound and dominated. All right, we're excited here because joining us from the Montezuma Mesa. Sean Lewis is the Aztecs head football coach, getting ready to start his first season. On May 25th, Dylan Cease pitched against the New York Yankees at Petco Park. Why am I bringing this up? Because on that day, Sean Lewis threw out the first pitch at Petco Park.
Coach, that's a good point.
Do you remember, Coach?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I remember that night.
And I don't know if you saw what Dylan Cease did today with the no-hitter, but everybody's...
No, right?
Yeah,
everybody's... Second one in Padres history, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you are not mistaken, Coach. You're on top of it, and I know you're very busy. You got a lot going on. Hey, great to have you on the show. We appreciate it. And give us a little update. I can't believe it's like just a tad more than a month before you get to play your first game, and I imagine you're about ready to run through a wall right now.
Yeah, guys, it's exciting. I mean, obviously there's been a ton of work that's been done by the staff and, more importantly, the kids, you know, ever since we got rolling in January here. But the guys will finish up our eight-week summer conditioning phase tomorrow morning with one last run with Coach Sobel. And then we'll have an extended weekend for a little bit of R&R to get refreshed and get their minds right. And we'll report to camp, you know, next week, and then shoot, a week from today, we'll get rocking and rolling and maximize, you know, the month of August that we have to get right and to become a team and to be able to go out and execute and defend our home turf on August 31st at Snapdragon against a really good Texas A&M Commerce team.
Coach, let me ask you, now that you've had this job for a while and you look back at the first, I don't know, 6 months or so since you've been hired, what about the job has been kind of what you expected? And what about the job has maybe surprised you a little bit over the first 6 months? Something maybe you weren't expecting as much.
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing that jumps to mind is the tremendous support of the administration and President De La Torre, and obviously how important athletics are to the fabric of our university. I knew that was going to be the case, but to have their support, to have their encouragement, and to have their backing with all the things that we feel like we need to do to consistently bring championships, you know, here home to the Mesa again, that has been outstanding. You know, the thing that, you know, probably maybe was a bit of a surprise, you know, I was probably pretty naive to think that, hey, coming to San Diego, you know, not a small college town, maybe able to, you know, blend in a little bit more and kind of get lost on, you know, a little bit of downtime that I have or that my staff has. And it's just been amazing everywhere that we go, you know, with the support of the community. Man, you're not blending in at all. And the staff ain't blending in. Our players aren't blending in. And everyone is dying to have a winner and to pack Snapdragon and to have an exciting brand of football in all three phases. So, you know, that was probably just a little bit more naivete on my part, thinking that, you know, hey, in the big city, be able to escape a little bit. But, man, that is a welcome surprise and, you know, greatly, greatly embrace that.
We're talking to the Aztecs football head coach Sean Lewis here on 97.3 The Fan, and I got two questions for you. One very serious question, or they're not serious questions, but one's kind of a joke question. How much sleep do you get? Because you have incredible energy, and I need to learn your secret if you're not getting that much sleep.
I'm at my best when I can get about six and a half hours of sleep. So
okay.
Typically, I'm pretty regimented, and by about 10:30, 10:45, I'm down.
Okay.
And then the alarm's going off about 4:30, 4:45 to go. You know, but again, we were just talking about it as a staff actually yesterday, you know, just finding the ways that are unique to yourself to keep your energy up, because we are in the energy transfer business, right? And we got to be full so we can pour into these kids, you know, so just, hey, whether that's daily readings, I enjoy doing that and enjoy working out. Like, those are things that keep my battery up, keep me, you know, energized and charged. And it's pretty easy when you got a great group of young men that you get to pour into, and obviously a fabulous spot like San Diego State to do it.
Well, thank you for entertaining that question, Coach Lewis. My actual question is going to be this one. As Chris said, the season's almost here. What are the most intriguing storylines for Aztecs fans to keep an eye on during preseason camp?
Yeah, I mean, the two biggest things are, you know, how we continue to grow and improve and come together along both of our fronts, the offensive line and the defensive line. I'm a big believer that the game is won there as much as the game has evolved and all the changes and trends that are going on, there's still a physicality that needs to be established along both the offensive line and the defensive line. So, you know, excited for the new pieces that we've added, excited for the guys who, you know, were held out during spring practice because of injuries and things like that, to have everyone up and available to really fortify and to build the physicality of our team along both lines. Is going to be a great storyline to pay close attention to. And then the other piece is, you know, it doesn't matter what level of ball it is, you need a quarterback. And, you know, we got a very deep quarterback room, and the competition in there is going to be fierce, and looking forward to see who comes out of that quarterback competition, you know, as our starter and is going to be our guy as we go forward.
Sean Lewis is with us, and just a quick aside, Coach, you mentioned you get up at 4:30 every day. You have to get up at 4:30 every day if you're going to be a surf pro like you're heading towards. We saw your clip of your surfing. But, you know, it's great to see you, you know, just jump into the San Diego, into this community. And I think, you know, the people have welcomed you because you have welcomed San Diego. And, yeah, I think everybody really is excited by your presence in this team. You look around the conference, you're obviously a new coach. There's eight new coaches total in this conference in the Mountain West. I know you're still looking on opening day, but as you look down the road a little bit, is it a little difficult to get a read on exactly what we're up against this year? Or are you just going to focus on your club for now?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little bit of coach speak, but I'm always going to be more obsessed about my club, and that's always going to be top of mind. But to your point, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of chasing ghosts in the unknown within the conference, not only with the AU coaches within the league, but then also, you know, all the roster turnover that has taken place because of the new coaches and the transfer portal and the different pieces that have come and gone. So, yeah, I think it's always critically important to, you know, again, obsess about, you know, your team and, you know, the impact that you can have within your own building. And then regardless of who happens to be the next gray faceless opponent that's going to line up across from us, you do your due diligence and you give them the respect of obviously preparing for them throughout the course of the week. But, you know, our plan to win is about the things that we can control. And those are the people and what we do and how we do it within our building.
We're talking to Aztecs football head coach Sean Lewis here on 97.3 The Fan. And last one for me, Coach, thank you so much for the time. We had three of your players in studio a few weeks ago to kind of observe our radio show and just learn what it's all about, learn kind of what the media ins and outs are. And I think it's awesome that they did that and they have interest outside of football. Do you encourage guys to do things like that and look ahead to life after or outside football?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the tremendous advantages of our great city, right, is where we have all these tremendous opportunities, whether it's coming into the studio with you guys and being able to learn that craft, or one of the other numerous companies or relationships that we have within the community, so that guys can always kind of be thinking about life after ball, right? I mean, whether that is when they're done here on the Mesa playing their last snap, or it's after a great NFL career. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to look up and there's a whole, you know, another chapter that needs to be written. And I want our guys, you know, to be elite in all things that they do, and obviously to do a great job, you know, on the field. But I don't want them to be defined just as football players, right? Playing football is something that they do, but I want them to be well-rounded young men and, you know, just get out in the community as much as possible, grow with shadowships, internships. Those opportunities, they're second to none, that, again, I feel very fortunate that we're able to provide because of the support within our community. It's second to none.
I can tell you right off the hand, Coach, Dale Sean Staley, your new safety from Kansas City, if you need somebody to call out your defensive signals, he's got a pretty good voice because he did a good job in studio, and he was very inquisitive and, you know, very much fun to hang around.
They asked a ton of questions.
They were great. Yeah. They were really great. It was a lot of fun having them in here. Last thing, Coach, and again, thanks so much for the time because you are so busy for sure, but the fans want to know this. I mean, you're 4-8 last year, et cetera. This happened, that, but the Aztecs had won the 10 games, the 9 games, they've been to bowls. What can you put any cap on how much of a turnaround you can have in one season? What is your attitude and what is your whole theory as you kind of talk to the people around San Diego and how much you'd like to get done here early?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for us is to maximize each and every single day. You know, we have a mantra that we've installed and established since day one called be the alpha, and we define that as improving and competing today, right, to stack all these plus one days. And that's really what it's about, right, to be in the present, to improve and become a better version of yourself day in and day out, compete against yourself, compete against your brothers in the building so that iron sharpens iron as we go forward. And I think it'd be unfair to the kids right now to say, hey, we're a bowl team, we're a 6-win team, we're a 7-win team, when I don't know by the end of camp and where we're going to be a month from now, what that looks like. I don't want to put a ceiling on this crew. I think we got a tremendous, group of young men that are exceptional in all areas of their life. I feel very fortunate with the staff we've been able to bring here and excited to do the work day in and day out. And, when we look up at the end of this thing, I think we're going to like where we're at.
Well, we're really happy to have you, Coach. And speaking for the rest of the Aztecs for Life that are listening to the show, that's me, Aztec for Life, and really excited to have you personally. Look forward to going out and seeing your club play and hopefully catching up with you during the season. Thanks for giving us an update. We really appreciate the time.
Yeah, guys, thanks for the opportunity. Go Aztecs.
You betcha. There he goes, Sean Lewis. A guy that, as Scraby said, 6.5 hours sleep seems to do him quite well.
Okay. I thought it was going to be a fun question, and it turned into...
He's rock solid. He's got everything mapped out, this guy.
He does.
Because I go to bed at 10:45. I'm up at 4:30.
I originally thought, when I asked the question, because college football coaches are probably up all night looking at film. They go to sleep for a couple hours here and there. But that is interesting to me, that he has to put himself in that space where he gets to sleep between those hours.
He sounds like from Central Casting, a great football coach.
He does.
That's just what he sounds like. There's no other way to describe it. And you say, what do you know about Coach Lewis? I mean, I've talked to him a couple of times. He sounds like he's, just a legit, gonna be successful, no other two ways about it, football coach. I think it's fair that the fans, we root for 12-0, but we understand that we're coming off 4-8. And even though you got the transfer portal and things can change, you got a new quarterback, you got a new system, you got new players, new coaches, new everything, and may take a little time. But I don't see how he's not going to do well. Like, he just seems like automatic to me.
I'm buying what he's selling, and I've always bought what he's sold. It's not like he stood up there the opening press conference, and I was kind of
He had a home run. He had a home run in his opening press conference.
And you believe him, and you could see it. You could see the belief he has in everything that he's telling everyone.
He's embraced the city, and the city's already embraced him. So it's a great start for Coach Lewis. But ultimately, it'll all come down to what happens starting August 31st, 5 o'clock, Snapdragon Stadium.
The Snappy?
Texas A&M Commerce, not the Aggies. But September 7th, see, we're allowed to look ahead. He's not.
Yeah, yeah.
Second game's pretty intriguing. Oregon State.
That is a good one.
On September the 7th.
They got crushed last year, didn't they?
At Snapdragon Stadium. They lost to them, I'm sure, yeah. They also go to Cal. They go to Central Michigan. God, I wish I could get in on that trip to Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
You really want to go?
Nope. but that's the inner out-of-conference schedule. You also got one against Washington State. Now, Washington State and Oregon State, I honestly can't figure out what conference they're really in.
They
say they're in the Pac-12.
Exactly. There's not 12 teams, though. There's the Pac-2.
The Pac-2. But, the Aztecs will host both of those schools this year.
All I know is that I just want the Aztecs to beat Washington State so badly.
Why particularly them?
Washington State fans seem to get in my DMs a lot.
They
do. For some reason. I don't know.
There are Washington State fans?
I guess so.
Did not know that.
I'm thinking particularly of two people that went to Washington State right now.
Who cause you havoc from time to time. Huh?
They make sure that I know that Washington State is a college that plays sports, for sure.
It's a university. I'm looking forward to the ACC matchup with Cal.
Are you? Is it in the Atlantic Coast?
No, it's going to be on the West Coast. I am so tired of Cal and Stanford being in the ACC, and they haven't even started being there yet. Check traffic. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back at 424. Marcelo Scraby alongside today in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. joined us earlier in the wake of Dylan Cease and his no-hitter today in Washington, D.C., which, as Scraby likes to point out, should now be called Washington Dylan Cease.
I'm actually not the first one who came
up with
that.
What was your other joke about that?
Oh, the Nats were deceased. That one is funny.
You like that one.
That one's good, but I'm not the first one who did the Dylan Cease thing.
Dylan Cease with a no-hitter today. Struck out 9, walked 3, faced only one batter over the minimum. 114 pitches, got it done. Had to talk Mike Shildt into getting the opportunity. After 7 innings and 94 pitches, Shildt was ready to remove Cease. Joe Musgrove, among others, help talk Shildt out of it. Joe Musgrove turned to Mike Shildt and said, "He's got pretty good stuff." Mike Shildt quipped later, "Well, if Joe said so, it must have been true." I Mike Shildt really is kind of trying to get off scot-free here.
I'm not sure what's going on here.
Well, I don't know either, but I don't I'm not going to be critical, but I just the notion that you were going to take him out of the game. I'm so tired of that.
He
man.
Was so dominant. Like, what makes you think?
Why would you even think about taking him out of the game? If it was 114 pitches through seven innings,
then you take him out.
Then I get it. But at 94, you're going over to shake his hand, and he's like, wait a minute, I'm at 94. I got this.
I don't even know how many pitches the eighth inning was, but it wasn't many.
It was nine.
It was nine. Okay, so that helped
him a
lot.
So he got to 103, and then he threw 11 pitches in the ninth inning. 114 is one more than his career high of 113. I don't think his arm's going to break or fall off. His managers, it's not Schilt only. It's just baseball. So wimpy the way they treat these pitchers. They wonder why half of them are injured, because you're so scared that they're going to get injured.
We complain about them taking the pitchers out too early, but then we complain about the pitchers when they're injured. So.
Yes, but that's not because they leave them in too long. For years and years and years, guy threw 300 pitches, 300 innings, 250 innings, struck out 300 batters, pitched complete games, 25 to 30 a year. Why were they able to do that then and they can't do it now? Because they throw harder now and they put too much stress on their arms.
I believe that.
I believe some of it.
Some of it.
Tweeted Don Orsillo today, my fifth no-hitter.
Oh, man.
It never gets old.
Man.
He's got to call five of them now.
That's royalty right there. Calling five?
Dylan Cease, Joe Musgrove, and three while he was the voice of the Red Sox, John Lester, Clay Buchholz, and Hideo Nomo.
Wow, it goes way back.
Hideo Nomo pitched a no-hitter for the Dodgers at Coors Field.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only one. He also pitched one for the Red Sox. Hideo Nomo threw two no-hitters in his career. The reason I mentioned Don Orsillo's tweet is because there was this from Uncle Teddy today. Tweeted Ted Leitner, true, I broadcast over 5,000 Padre games.
Wow.
Zero no-hitters by the boys. And then he went on to congratulate Cease and franchise no number two, et cetera. But
that is true. I mean, that's got to be infuriating to a certain extent. That he sat there for many, many bad years.
5,000 games. No no-nos for Teddy ball game. Padres get one today, the second in franchise history. All right, we got a Big Five coming up. There's some other things going on in the world of sports. 5 o'clock hour, you kind of had something, because we're going to stick around for a little extra time. What was in the 5 o'clock hour? Anything? I thought you had something.
No, we decided to move it.
We moved whatever Chris you had in the 5 o'clock?
No, we moved it to 3:40.
Oh, we did.
We can... Well, we can talk about this off the air is what we can do.
I don't know. I kind of like letting people in behind the scenes to see how ridiculously bad we are at putting our show together sometimes.
I will say this. We will take phone calls. And,
you think so?
And we're going to hear from Tony again, because we heard from Tony early in the show. And we got to hear from Tony after a no-hitter.
But before that...
Yes, we do know that.
And then during this break, I will talk Scraby out of everything he just told you. Stick around. More Gwen and Chris on the way. I can imagine somebody driving along going, wait a minute, what was that? I knew Joan Musgrove pitched a no-hitter. What are you talking about? Dylan Cease? What? Yeah, he pitched a no-hitter today. Welcome back. Gwen and Chris at 4:36 on a Thursday afternoon. It was a rainy Thursday in Washington, D.C. An hour and 16-minute rain delay in the top of the first inning was immediately followed by Ha-Seong Kim's bases-clearing double. That turned out to be the only three runs of the game. Padres win it 3-0. Cease faces just one batter over the minimum. Strikes out 9, walks 3. Throws 114 pitches in the second no-hitter in franchise history. Gwen and Chris at 4:37, Big Five coming up in just a second. Before we get to that, a couple of quick baseball trade deadline notes, and it'll be quick, Scraby. Can see you already squirming over there. Chicago White Sox starter Garrett Crochet says he wants a contract extension. Oh my God, why'd you do that?
Because this whole thing has just bothered me, this Garrett Crochet story.
Oh. Why did you do that sound?
Because, finish the story.
Well, he says he wants a contract extension, so if you're going to trade for him, you're going to have to deal with a contract extension potentially as well.
Yes.
That's going to make it much more difficult to trade for him.
Yes. Okay. He's also not pitching as many innings anymore.
All right. I'm just updating people on the trade deadline, and you're playing...
I'm over it.
...sounds that are not necessarily wonderful.
You know what? I like guys who say this. Get me off of the White Sox and put me on a winning team. I'll figure out the contract later.
Yeah, well, guys don't say that. One guy that's probably not going to be traded for ahead of Tuesday's deadline now, Oakland A's all-star reliever Mason Miller. That's because he landed on the 15-day injured list, fracture of his non-pitching left pinky finger. He broke it while preparing to exercise in the training room, placed his hand on the training table in an awkward position. Are these guys made out of paper? What do you mean?
He broke his finger. Wow.
San Francisco Chronicle reports that Miller was frustrated about something and pounded his hand on a table. That makes a little more sense.
That makes a ton more sense.
God.
Come on, people. Your livelihood is in your hand.
Pounding your hands on the table. These guys make no sense.
Although breaking your pinky would be pretty painful, gotta say.
Yeah, sorry. Not a smart move. I guess it's a smart move if you want to stay with the A's, because they're not going to be able to trade you now. Here's traffic and then today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news sound and amaze you. The one, the only...
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food from a healthier weight to more energy. When you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? It's none at all, Chris. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. All right. Today,
and if you get hungry late at night, you can always have a snack.
You can have a snack. That
according to Ben
true.
Higgins' reading of that commercial.
He eats it, too.
Sounded like he ate it.
He says, they love it, and I do, too.
That's what he said. I don't think he meant it like that, but no. We've kind of
every time I hear it, though, I
it.
Think of the same thing yeah. every time. All right, we're going to talk Pro Far. We're going to talk college football. And we are going to talk about Aaron Rodgers and then finish up with something the Raiders did that I think maybe is the dumbest thing they could have done.
Number five.
But we're going to start with Jerickson Profar, and he continues to deliver for the Padres, and he keeps doing it in huge spots. Not only that, he is doing it from both sides of the plate. He doesn't have overwhelmingly eye-popping numbers for an MVP, but he is delivering for the Padres in clutch moments and has done so all season long. I'm not saying he's in the running for the MVP. I'm saying this. It's an extreme long shot, but is he, Chris, on the list of National League MVP candidates right now?
Yeah, he's on the list. I mean, he's going to be getting some votes. Remember, the top 10... people turn in a ballot with 10 names on it for MVP. I don't think you can turn in a top 10 ballot in the National League to this point in the season.
There's not 10 guys.
And not include Jerickson Profar.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not just saying that from a Padre perspective. I'm saying that from a impact perspective. We talked about this earlier. There's been a little magic to this Padre season. Now, today, that magic was spun by Dylan Cease's no-hitter, but... go back to all of the magic moments of this season. Practically, it's been Profar every time, every time.
You're right.
He's really having a great year. Wasn't he not the top vote getter in the outfield, or did he get passed in that category?
Sure.
I know he started.
I just knew he started.
Yeah, I didn't remember where he finished, but yeah, I you can't name 10 guys before you get to him on the MVP race. So, yes, I agree with you. He's not going to win over Ohtani,
Skeens,
some of these other, you know, Hall of Famers. But Profar deserves, you know, quite a bit of good mention this year, and he's going to get it.
I agree with everything you said. My definition of an MVP is if you take that person off of the team, is the team going to be in a similar spot? If you take Ohtani off the Dodgers, they're not going to be in a similar spot. But Ohtani, he's already got the numbers. Jerks and Profar, if you take him off this team, the Padres are not going to be in a similar spot. And Jerks and Profar, I think, means more to this team than others do to their teams. Because throughout the year, when they weren't hitting, Jerks and Profar was. And he's won quite a number of games for the Padres this year. I think he should be on the list for sure.
He's having a phenomenal year.
Would we call it a renaissance?
I just hope he never wakes up. I hope he keeps it going. He's got 2 months to go, and let's just, you know, every time he turns around, he seems to come through. I mean, yesterday was another one. You know, they're down 3-0 early before they're done in the second inning. He's got them back ahead 4-3.
Yep.
It's been there all year.
All right. Number four. With college football starting very soon, fans have been doing their thing and talking trash about rival teams. Well, one post I saw today was about Ohio State. Sorry, Brutus fan, if you're out there. And their quote-unquote Charmin soft schedule in 2024. I went and did this. If you take all of their opponent win-loss records of last year, it comes out to 83-71, so a 54% winning percentage total across all the teams. But with the expanded playoff and some conferences getting automatic spots, do top teams need to play tough schedules anymore? I'm up first. The Big Ten, that's what I was looking for, and SEC already have guaranteed spots. It's not about strength of schedule, it seems like now. So if you finish the top of your conference, it doesn't matter who you play throughout the year because you'll get that automatic spot. I think that this is, it definitely is going to water down schedules a little bit. And I think it's going to make college football worse. So,
Chris? One thing, there's a lot wrong with college football. And one of them is the fact that the Big Ten and the SEC have so much power, so many games that are huge in conference, that the month of September is a waste of our time as fans. Ohio State's a perfect example. They're playing Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall.
Yeah.
Does anybody care about any of those games?
Akron was 2-10 last year.
Well, I it doesn't even matter. These are just total mismatches, right? These aren't even games. So, you know, the month of September is going to suffer. And you're probably right. I mean, as long as Ohio State finishes first, second, or third in the Big Ten, they'll probably get into the playoff. Even though when you look at their schedule, looks like three hard games this year. At Oregon in October, at Penn State in November, and home to Michigan to finish up. Otherwise, the other 9 or 10 Ohio State games, you can phone them in.
The Northwestern games at Wrigley. I will be checking that out. Is there enough room in Wrigley for a football field? I guess they did it that one time.
The Chicago Bears used to play at Wrigley Field.
So there is enough room.
There should be enough room.
There's like 3 feet between the end zone and the wall.
Yeah. I've seen some highlights of Gale Sayers running right into the brick wall after scoring a touchdown because it was right there.
It's concerning.
Yeah. Number three.
Now, Chris, you have you grew up with the Rose Bowl, right?
I did.
They are seeking, actually, to get out of the college football playoff semifinal rotation starting in 2026, according to CBS Sports. If bowl officials are successful, the granddaddy of them all will permanently move it to its traditional January 1st date. Some say the Rose Parade is really the event out of either if you choose the game or the Rose Parade. The Rose Parade is where they want to keep that going in the same spot. That was a really bad way of explaining that. Chris, does the Rose Bowl game still hold weight for you?
No. I mean, well, a little. I mean, you know, as soon as they took it away from the Pac-10 versus the Big Ten, and they or the Pac-12 versus the Big Ten, and that's been now 15 years or so. As soon as they let teams like TCU and teams like who else got in there? Some crazy teams for a couple of years. I just, you know, I kind of, the Rose Bowl just became any other game. So, But if they want to play it on January 1st and not be part of the rotation, I think they're kind of, you know, cutting off their arm to nose to spite their face.
Yeah.
Because with all due respect to my friends who work at the Holiday Bowl, and that includes my wife, bowl games outside of the playoff are just not going to be interesting anymore. Or as interesting. You might be able to create a fun matchup here or there. But it's all going to be about those 11 playoff games. I don't know why. Even the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is going to be a game between Nebraska and Stanford, but neither of them are in the playoff. Is it really going to matter? So I think they got to be careful here.
Yeah, they do. Because
the Rose Bowl is not going to carry enough weight on its own for me to tune in.
Yeah. It's like you gotta understand the popularity of yourself, basically. Like, am I going to be able to survive if I don't have the college football playoff? And the answer is no. I just, everybody's focused on these games. So I'm going to anger some people right now and say that I think the Rose Parade should be canceled forever.
The Rose Parade?
Yeah, I'm over it. I know people love parades. I don't understand parades. Mm-hmm. I've never been a parade person.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
If you have to go to one thing, and you can't say no.
Okay.
You're going to go to the Rose Parade or go to the
Macy's
yearly fireworks display?
Oh.
Downtown or something that you see 10 times a year.
I'm going to the fireworks.
Yeah.
I don't really care about parades. I really don't. I probably should care about parades.
I might go to the parade.
You might go to the parade.
Over the fireworks.
Have you ever been in a parade? Maybe that's
been
my problem.
In one?
I've never been in a parade.
Why would you be?
Well, because, you know, Little League, what have you done? Parades.
What have you done?
To
deserve being in a parade? I see.
That's a good question. I haven't come up with an answer for that one.
Very good. Number
two. All right. So Aaron Rodgers finally spoke about why he missed the mandatory mini camp earlier in the summer. And he said he missed it because he was going to Egypt, Chris. He explained, he said, I originally scheduled it based on the previous year's schedule, I believe by the 9th or 10th. Once I saw the schedule, I started to move things around and it just didn't happen. So he went on his vacation anyway. Here he is talking to the media.
And why did the trip to Egypt, why did it have to be that week rather than, say, a week later when they were here on Thursday?
Yeah, you know what? I originally scheduled it based on the previous year's schedule, which had us out, I believe, by the 9th or 10th. So once I saw the schedule, I was trying to move some things around. I just didn't happen.
Yeah.
What was your fascination with Egypt?
Oh, I've been a fan for 3 decades, ever since I was in a gifted and talented education class. I don't know if those are paid for or not, but I was in it. We studied mythology from Egypt and Greece, and those are like my top two on the bucket list. So, you know, back in
I've heard enough.
Are you kidding me with this? You have a question surrounding this?
I do. It's not really about Aaron Rodgers, but it's more about the Jets. Okay, I'll just ask the question and move on because I don't need to say anything about Aaron Rodgers. How many games did the Jets win this year, Chris? Or I guess I'm up first. I think they win 7. They're 7-10.
That's what they were last year.
I know. And they didn't have Aaron Rodgers. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is not going to be the same guy this year. And he's probably going to prove me wrong because he is Aaron Rodgers and he can play incredible football late in his life. But I feel like last year, missing that year, and he's just a year older. His body's going to, who knows? I don't think they're going to be as good as they would have been last year, Chris.
I just think the whole thing is ridiculous that the guy had to go to Egypt when he had mandatory camp and then tried to explain it away as if there was nothing mandatory about it, even though every other player was there.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Every other player was there.
I totally hate it.
Yeah. But
I really do.
It's like that's what they signed on for. Well, who were we talking about the other day? Signing on for something that you...
You're telling me the Jets.
Blake Snell.
The Jets are getting what they deserve.
Yeah, because they brought him in. They moved heaven and earth to try to get him on the team. He unfortunately got hurt in the first game.
I just am not a fan of people that are all about themselves and not the team they play for. That really bothers me.
Did he drop that he was in a special gifted class?
Of course he did.
I love Egypt too, but
Aaron Rodgers is so polarizing. The guy hosted Jeopardy for heaven's sake, and he was pretty good at it.
I know, you did like him.
God.
All right, here
we go. I can't like this guy. I hope the Jets win. They're going to got to win. They got to at least win 9. They got to go over 500. 9 and 8.
Oh, yeah, 9 and 8. Okay. Number one. All right. I just saw this on social media a little bit earlier, but I retweeted it on 90 or on at Matt Scraby. The Raiders have apparently they ordered a Kermit the Frog puppet that you could put on your hand, and they added some hair to it, a fro, and they're saying it's the Patrick Mahomes Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, they put a red jersey on it and a helmet, red helmet.
Yeah, KC, they talk like him. You know, everybody talks like Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, and they're filming it, and they're running around training camp pretending Patrick Mahomes is a stupid puppet.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 100, how stupid is this?
What is very stupid? 100?
Yes.
This is a 200. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I'm glad the Raiders are having a good time. This is a guy that continually beats your
bleep
in conference division play twice a year.
He's 10-2.
He's done it for like 6 straight years, and he's going to do it 2 more times this year. And just in case he's having a bad day, he's going to be able to picture you running around with his dumb puppet, and he's going to get fired up and beat you again. What am I missing? Scraby.
You're not missing anything. I mean,
I couldn't coach in the NFL right now because I would tell my guys, hey, you know what? This is stupid. And they'd look at me like I'm an idiot for even bringing it up.
Something that Antonio Pierce, just without really knowing anything about him, he just doesn't seem like he would want his team doing this. He was an NFL player. He knows what motivation you can give someone. And
football is the one sport where if you try harder, you can do better.
Yeah.
You know, I think baseball, if you try harder, you don't always do better.
No, you're right.
And basketball and hockey, the season's too long. You have to pace yourself. Football, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to be fired up. He doesn't need a puppet to get him fired up.
No,
but why even give him the chance?
Yes. Agree. I think the Raiders are stupid for doing 10-2 against the Raiders, Patrick Mahomes is. And the Chiefs have won 8 straight AFC West titles.
But let me also say this. Even without the Kermit the Frog thing, the Raiders are generally stupid.
So that's a good point.
That's kind of just their DNA.
That's a good point.
Thank you, Scraby. Coming up, the happy hour.
Woo-hoo!
It's actually a happy hour and a half. We're extending things to 6:30 today. Gwen and Chris rolls on the day that Dylan Cease pitches the second no-hitter in Padres history.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news sound and amaze you. The one. The only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? It's none at all, Chris. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. All right. Today,
and if you get hungry late at night, you can always have a snack.
You can have a snack. That
according to Ben
true.
Higgins' reading of that commercial.
He eats it, too.
Sounded like he ate
says,
it.
He says, they love it, and I do, too.
That's what he said. I don't think he meant it like that, but
no.
We've kind of
every time I hear it, though, I
it.
Think of the same thing.
Yeah.
Every time. All right, we're going to talk Pro Far. We're going to talk college football. And we are going to talk about Aaron Rodgers and then finish up with something the Raiders did that I think maybe is the dumbest thing they could have done.
Number five.
But we're going to start with Jerickson Profar, and he continues to deliver for the Padres, and he keeps doing it in huge spots. Not only that, he is doing it from both sides of the plate. He doesn't have overwhelmingly eye-popping numbers for an MVP, but he is delivering for the Padres in clutch moments and has done so all season long. I'm not saying he's in the running for the MVP. I'm saying this. It's an extreme long shot, but is he, Chris, on the list of National League MVP candidates right now?
Yeah, he's on the list. I mean, he's going to be getting some votes. Remember, the top 10 people turn in a ballot with 10 names on it for MVP. I don't think you can turn in a top 10 ballot in the National League to this point in the season.
There's not 10 guys.
And not include Jerks and Profar.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not just saying that from a Padre perspective. I'm saying that from a impact perspective. We talked about this earlier. There's been a little magic to this Padres season. Now, today, that magic was spun by Dylan Cease's no-hitter, but go back to all of the magic moments of this season. Practically, it's been Profar every time, or almost every time.
You're right.
He's really having a great year. He was the, wasn't he not the top vote-getter in the outfield, or did he get passed in that category?
Sure.
I know he started.
I just knew he started.
But, yeah, I didn't remember where he finished, but... Yeah, I you can't name 10 guys before you get to him on the MVP race. So, yes, I agree with you. He's not a not going to win over Ohtani,
Skeens,
some of these other, you know, Hall of Famers. But Profar deserves, you know, quite a bit of good mention this year, and he's going to get it.
I agree with everything you said. My definition of an MVP is if you take that person off of the team, is the team going to be in a similar spot? If you take Ohtani off the Dodgers, they're not going to be in a similar spot. But Ohtani, he's already got the numbers. Jerks and Profar, if you take him off this team, the Padres are not going to be in a similar spot. And Jerks and Profar, I think, means more to this team than others do to their teams. Because throughout the year, when they weren't hitting, Jerks and Profar was. And he's won quite a number of games for the Padres this year. I think he should be on the list for sure.
He's having a, you know, a phenomenal year.
Would we call it a renaissance?
I just hope he never wakes up. I hope he keeps it going. He's got 2 months to go, and let's just, you know, every time he turns around, he seems to come through. I mean, yesterday was another one. You know, they're down 3-0 early before they're done in the second inning. He's got them back ahead 4-3.
Yep.
It's been there all year.
All right. Number four. With college football starting very soon, fans have been doing their thing and talking trash about rival teams. Well, one post I saw today was about Ohio State. Sorry, Brutus fan, if you're out there. And their quote-unquote Charmin soft schedule in 2024. I went and did this. If you take all of their opponent win-loss records of last year, it comes out to 83-71, so a 54% winning percentage total across all the teams. But with the expanded playoff and some conferences getting automatic spots, do top teams need to play tough schedules anymore? I'm up first. The Big Ten, that's what I was looking for, and SEC already have guaranteed spots. It's not about strength of schedule, it seems like now. So if you finish the top of your conference, it doesn't matter who you play throughout the year because you'll get that automatic spot. I think that this is, it definitely is going to water down schedules a little bit. And I think it's going to make college football worse. So,
Chris? One thing, there's a lot wrong with college football. And one of them is the fact that the Big Ten and the SEC have so much power, so many games that are huge in conference, that the month of September is a waste of our time as fans. Ohio State's a perfect example. They're playing Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall.
Yeah.
Does anybody care about any of those games?
Akron was 2-10 last year.
Well, I it doesn't even matter. These are just total mismatches, right? These aren't even games. So, you know, the month of September is going to suffer. And you're probably right. I mean, as long as Ohio State finishes first, second, or third in the Big Ten, they'll probably get into the playoff. Even though when you look at their schedule, looks like three hard games this year. At Oregon in October, at Penn State in November, and home to Michigan to finish up. Otherwise, the other 9 or 10 Ohio State games, you can phone them in.
The Northwestern games at Wrigley. I will be checking that out. Is there enough room in Wrigley for a football field? I guess they did it that one time.
The Chicago Bears used to play at Wrigley Field.
So there is enough room.
There should be enough room.
There's like 3 feet between the end zone and the wall.
Yeah. I've seen some highlights of Gale Sayers running right into the brick wall after scoring a touchdown because it was right there.
It's concerning.
Yeah. Number three.
Now, Chris, you have you grew up with the Rose Bowl, right?
I did.
They are seeking, actually, to get out of the college football playoff semifinal rotation starting in 2026, according to CBS Sports. If bowl officials are successful, the granddaddy of them all will permanently move it to its traditional January 1st date. Some say the Rose Parade is really the event out of either if you choose the game or the Rose Parade. The Rose Parade is where they want to keep that going in the same spot. That was a really bad way of explaining that. Chris, does the Rose Bowl game still hold weight for you?
No. I mean, well, a little. I mean, you know, as soon as they took it away from the Pac-10 versus the Big Ten, and they or the Pac-12 versus the Big Ten, and that's been now 15 years or so. As soon as they let teams like TCU and teams like, who else got in there? Some crazy teams for a couple of years. I just, you know, I kind of, the Rose Bowl just became any other game. So, but if they want to play it on January 1st and not be part of the rotation, I think they're kind of, you know, cutting off their arm to nose to spite their face.
Yeah.
Because with all due respect to my friends who work at the Holiday Bowl, and that includes my wife, bowl games outside of the playoff are just not going to be interesting anymore. Or as interesting. You might be able to create a fun matchup here or there. But it's all going to be about those 11 playoff games. I don't know why even the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is going to be a game between Nebraska and Stanford, but neither of them are in the playoff. Is it really going to matter? So I think they got to be careful here.
Yeah, they do. Because
the Rose Bowl is not going to carry enough weight on its own for me to tune in.
Yeah. It's like you gotta understand the popularity of yourself, basically. Like, am I going to be able to survive if I don't have the college football playoff? And the answer is no. I just, everybody's focused on these games. So I'm going to anger some people right now and say that I think the Rose Parade should be canceled forever.
The Rose Parade?
Yeah, I'm over it. I know people love parades. I don't understand parades. Mm-hmm. I've never been a parade person.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
If you have to go to one thing, and you can't say no.
Okay.
You're going to go to the Rose Parade or go to the
Macy's
yearly fireworks display?
Oh,
downtown or something that you see 10 times a year.
I'm going to the fireworks.
Yeah.
I don't really care about parades. I really don't. I probably should care about parades.
I might go to the parade.
You might go to the parade.
Over the fireworks.
Have you ever been in a parade? Maybe that's
been
my problem.
In one?
I've never been in a parade.
Why would you be?
Well, because, you know, Little League,
what have you done?
Parades.
What have you done?
To
deserve being in a parade? I see.
That's a good question. I haven't come up with an answer for that one.
Very
Chris.
Good. Number two.
All right. So Aaron Rodgers finally spoke about why he missed the mandatory mini camp earlier in the summer. And he said he missed it because he was going to Egypt, Chris. He explained, he said, I originally scheduled it based on the previous year's schedule, I believe by the 9th or 10th. Once I saw the schedule, I started to move things around and it just didn't happen. So he went on his vacation anyway. Here he is talking to the media.
And why did the trip to Egypt, why did it have to be that week rather than, say, a week later when they were here on Thursday?
Yeah, you know what? I originally scheduled it based on the previous year's schedule, which had us out, I believe, by the 9th or 10th. So once I saw the schedule, I was trying to move some things around. I just didn't happen.
Yeah.
What was your fascination with Egypt?
Oh, I've been a fan for 3 decades, ever since I was in a gifted and talented education class. I don't know if those are paid for or not, but I was in it. We studied mythology from Egypt and Greece, and those are like my top two on the bucket list. So, you know, back in
I've heard enough.
Are you kidding me with this? You have a question surrounding this?
I do. It's not really about Aaron Rodgers, but it's more about the Jets. Okay, I'll just ask the question and move on because I don't need to say anything about Aaron Rodgers. How many games did the Jets win this year, Chris? Or I guess I'm up first. I think they win 7. They're 7-10.
That's what they were last year.
I know. And they didn't have Aaron Rodgers. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is not going to be the same guy this year. And he's probably going to prove me wrong because he is Aaron Rodgers and he can play incredible football late in his life. But I feel like last year, missing that year, and he's just a year older, his body's going to, who knows? I don't think they're going to be as good as they would have been last year, Chris.
I just think the whole thing is ridiculous that the guy had to go to Egypt when he had mandatory camp and then tried to explain it away as if there was nothing mandatory about it, even though every other player was there.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Every other player was
there. I totally hate it.
Yeah. But
I really do.
It's like, that's what they signed on for. Well, who were we talking about the other day? Signing on for something that you...
You're telling me the Jets.
Blake Snell.
You're telling me the Jets are getting what they deserve.
Yeah, because they brought him in. They moved heaven and earth to try to get him on the team. He unfortunately got hurt in the first game.
I just am not a fan of people that are all about themselves and not the team they play for. That really bothers me.
Did he drop that he was in a special gifted class?
Of course he did.
I love Egypt too, but
Aaron Rodgers is so polarizing. The guy hosted Jeopardy for heaven's sake, and he was pretty good at it.
I know you did like him.
God,
all right.
I can't like this guy. I hope the Jets win. They're gonna gotta win. They got to at least win 9. They got to go over 500. 9-8.
Oh yeah, 9-8. Okay. Number one. All right. I just saw this on social media a little bit earlier, but I retweeted it on 90 or on at Matt Scraby. The Raiders have apparently. They ordered a Kermit the Frog puppet that you could put on your hand, and they added some hair to it, a fro, and they're saying it's the Patrick Mahomes Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, they put a red jersey on it and a helmet, red helmet.
They talk like him. You know, everybody talks like Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, and they're filming it, and they're running around training camp pretending Patrick Mahomes is a stupid puppet.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 100, how stupid is this?
What is very stupid? 100?
Yes.
This is a 200. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I'm glad the Raiders are having a good time. This is a guy that continually beats your...
Bleep.
In conference division play twice a year.
He's 10-2.
He's done it for like 6 straight years, and he's going to do it 2 more times this year. And just in case he's having a bad day, he's going to be able to picture you running around with his dumb puppet, and he's going to get fired up and beat you again. What am I missing, Scraby?
You're not missing anything. I mean,
I couldn't coach in the NFL right now because I would tell my guys, hey, you know what, this is stupid, and they'd look at me like I'm an idiot for even bringing it up.
Something that Antonio Pierce, just without really knowing anything about him, he just doesn't seem like he would want his team doing this. He was an NFL player. He knows what motivation you can give someone. And
football is the one sport where if you try harder, you can do better.
Yeah.
You know, I think baseball, if you try harder, you don't always do better.
No, you're right.
And basketball and hockey, the season's too long. You have to pace yourself. Football, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to be fired up. He doesn't need a puppet to get him fired up.
No,
but why even give him the chance?
Yes. Agree. I think the Raiders are stupid for doing it. 10-2 against the Raiders, Patrick Mahomes is. And the Chiefs have won 8 straight AFC West titles.
But let me also say this. Even without the Kermit the Frog thing, the Raiders are generally stupid.
So that's a good point.
That's kind of just their DNA.
That's a good point.
Thank you, Scraby. Coming up, the happy hour.
Woo-hoo!
It's actually a happy hour and a half. We're extending things to 6:30 today. Gwen and Chris rolls on the day that Dylan Cease pitches the second no-hitter in Padres history.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run! Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.